of all things, no good.
That was rather big last night. That was the Brandon Aubrey missed field goal with about 28 seconds to go with the Cowboys up five. If you didn't know, and I'm assuming that many of you did know, the Cowboys were 5.5-point favorites. Now, the number was, you know, fluctuating all week. Some people may have had them at six. Some people may have had them at 4.5 or 5. And gotten the push or even the win. But that was a significant kick because Brandon Aubrey had never missed a kick from 50 yards out or longer. He had hit a 60-yarder early in the game. And by the way, did you notice when he kicked that 60-yarder? It was like a wedge shot. Like, it's such a little easy, you know, punch of a shot. It's not like he's giving and exerting that much effort. He clearly has a chance, if they get in range, to boot the all-time longest field goal. 66 yards is the longest. He had a 65-yarder last week. I mean, it's like he's got, you know, a 60-degree on a 60-yard field goal. It doesn't even look like much effort, but the 51-yard chip shot, which it really is for him, that thing pushed so far right. Came back a little bit at the end. But for those that had the Giants plus the number, winner. Thank you, Mike McCarthy, for even attempting the field goal. I think that was kind of stupid. I'll get to that here in a moment. We'll talk a little bit about last night's game. It was a big game and a big win for the Cowboys. A couple of incredible individual performances in the Thursday night game, which was a weird game, actually, altogether. It's a football Friday, Washington, Arizona, Sunday, 4:05. Can't wait for it. I was super excited about the Monday night game. Now that they've won that game and they're 2-1, the opportunity to get to 3-1 on the season, especially if they play well again offensively, which is the only way I think they can get to 3-1. But that would be a lot of fun to see here through almost a quarter of the season. Washington, Arizona, Sunday, 4:05. I'll have my Washington beats Arizona if coming up on the show. Denton and I will make picks. I got a smell test that involves not as many games as last week. There aren't a lot of obvious NFL sides, although last night may have been obvious, and I may have missed an opportunity. But we've got a couple of guests on the show. Terps have a big game tomorrow at Indiana. Indiana's undefeated. Maryland's got that one loss. This is kind of a game between that second tier of Big Ten teams, you know, after Oregon, after Ohio State. And not that Maryland's in that category yet with Penn State, and I would put Penn State in the upper category right now. They may not be in the second tier with USC, Michigan, Illinois, who knows, but they're close to that, and this will determine which of these two teams can go on and potentially have like an 8-win season, maybe a 9-win season, versus, you know, a 6 or a 7-win season. Big game for the Terps tomorrow. Steve Suter, who will be on the call with the legend, Johnny Holiday, tomorrow right here on the Team 980, will join us at 11 a.m. We'll have Ben on the show per usual on Fridays at 12. And then Bill Barnwell will join us today on the show at 12:30. Bill, of course, covers the NFL for ESPN. We'll talk some NFL topics, including what he wrote about last week, which is kind of the era of the dual threat quarterback. We have one here in Washington. So I want to read this real quickly. This comes from my my friend Daniel, who communicates with me a lot on betting. I've read some of his, you know, emails in the past, but he sent me this. Kevin, how the hell did you pass on the Giants tonight? They were the perfect smell test pick. Yeah, they weren't, though. If they were, I would have given the Giants out. I, you know, definitely leaned the Giants. And, you know, the bottom line is if you had played it probably, you know, within a half an hour or prior to kickoff, you probably would have gotten the number at 5 and pushed. But if you had played it earlier at 5.5, 6, you know, you probably won. Good for you. Look, I thought all week, Denton knows this, I thought all week I was going to give out the Giants. But there were, you know, I get a report, not the ones you guys read on internet sites. I get, you know, actual information from some of the biggest offshore books, and there were some really smart guys that were on the Cowboys earlier in the week at 4.5. And when I see the line jump like that, that's typically not the smell test criteria. I like to see that line stay at 4.5, maybe even go down and try to incentivize more people to bet on the Cowboys. Look, the game went off with an overwhelming number of public bettors on Dallas, but a lot of the sharp money was mixed in the places where I get information. That's why I stayed off it. I didn't even play it personally. Forget about night. Look, I care more about the picks I give out on the show than I do about my own personal bets, which match the bets I give out on the show, but usually include a few more right before kickoff. I stayed off the game last night. I didn't play it. It was a weird game. I'm going to start with this. What is it about the Cowboys and penalties? And by the way, they got a penalty called against the Giants in the first half of that game that was ridiculous. They called a face mask on Bellinger against number 13 for the Cowboys. They got it wrong. You guys that watch the game, no, they got it wrong. They actually called the face mask on the wrong guy. It should have been on the Cowboys defender, not Bellinger. Bellinger got his face mask grabbed and twisted, and they called it on the Giants on Bellinger, number 82. That's a 30-yard swing on a massive drive on a game that was super close. I thought, Denton, that, you know, especially in these, you know, standalone games, I thought New York is supposed to, you know, immediately call down to the referees. We've seen this a few times already. We saw it on the screen to Dowdle that he scored on. They called holding. They picked it up because New York told him to pick it up. How did they miss that? It was so awful in terms of the result to the Giants. A 30-yard, you know, swing and penalties. They clearly messed it up and called it on the wrong guy on a play that did involve a face mask. Why didn't we get that called in from New York? Denton?
Are you asking me? I have no idea. They should have called. Like, I have no idea why they didn't do that. I don't have the billion-dollar answer to that. It was idiotic. I don't know how they missed something like that.
That was ridiculous. And I, you know, I really didn't have a dog in the fight from a betting standpoint. I was rooting, though, for the Giants. I wanted to see chaos in Dallas. I mean, they pick up the flag on the hold on the touchdown pass to Dowdle, on the screen to Dowdle, and then they miss that face mask. It just made no sense. The worst part of that was that the Giants didn't really throw a fit. It's like it totally went over their heads. Like, nobody was saying to Dable in his headset, they called it on the wrong guy. It wasn't our guy. It was the other guy. You know, throw the challenge. Can't challenge a penalty, but get their attention that they actually messed it up. They made a mistake. But, by the way, back to just the penalties. Dallas, I think, has been in the top three or top four in penalties against every year during the McCarthy era. The team's undisciplined. You know, I don't know what coaches would say to that, you know, whether or not they would say, yeah, that's kind of on us. A lot of them are self-inflicted. A lot of them are pre-snap penalties a lot of the time. They had another 11 last night. I just think that they are very undisciplined as a team, typically. I don't have a lot of faith in the Cowboys being a threat in the NFC. I'm not saying that they can't go win 10 games again. They seem to be able to win 10 games, 11 games, 12 games every year, but they're just teams that I think are just much better coached teams. You know, looking forward down the road, like, I would definitely take San Francisco. Well, they've taken the Cowboys out a couple of times in the postseason with Kyle at the helm. I would definitely think that a good Minnesota team late in the year is just better coached with Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores. I think the Lions are to a certain degree, I guess. The Packers definitely are. Look, this is not an objective viewpoint because I'm not clearly, you know, a Dallas backer as a Washington fan. But I'd be so frustrated at this point if I were a Cowboy fan. I'd be relieved that they won the game last night. But they just, they don't look impressive right now. And you know what's coming down the road, even if they do look impressive. So real quickly on that final decision and that final missed field goal, I think the right thing there is to punt. When he kicked the field goal, I think when they lined up to kick it, first of all, they rushed him out there. They could have called a timeout to let him get relaxed. They kind of rushed him out there, and that may be one of the reasons he missed the kick. But with the Giants having no timeouts and needing a touchdown, it seems to me that the best opportunity for the Giants is for them to kick the field goal, miss it, even though it seemed like the odds were pretty low that he would miss the field goal, and then take over near midfield after a missed 51-yarder. Take over at the 41-yard line with 28 seconds to go. That's your best chance. Because if they punt the football, by the time the punt play is over, it's somewhere inside the 20, you would think. Maybe it goes into the end zone and it comes out to the... Likely not, you're going to be able to pin him somewhere inside the 20. It's a play that takes longer than the field goal, which means the Giants are going to take over with about 25 seconds to go inside their own 20 with no timeouts, needing a touchdown with Daniel Jones. And by the way, at that point, no Malik Nabers because he had been concussed. Like, what are the chances of them, you know, pitching it around 15 times and scoring? Maybe better than Aubrey missing the field goal. I don't know. But I would have punted it in that spot. I think the best chance the Giants had was a missed field goal, which ended up happening, even though the odds on that were pretty long. And if he had made the field goal and they're up eight, they still have to kick off and you're susceptible to maybe a big return. I would have punted. The Giants didn't do much once they got the ball back at their own 41-yard line. Amazing that they couldn't do something. Like, I always wonder, they took a couple of shots. It's like, throw the ball over the middle, get the 15 to 20-yarder that they're going to give you, go up and spike it, and at least, worst case, you got a shot at the end zone on a Hail Mary at the end of the game. But they didn't do that. I thought that there were a couple of outstanding individual performances. And you start with Malik Nabers. My God, this guy's off to the best start for a rookie receiver in NFL history in terms of targets, in terms of receptions. He was targeted another 15 times last night, 12 catches, 115 yards. On the night. Now, he got concussed very late in the game. And by the way, you could see once that guy landed on him, he was out. And so hopefully he'll be okay. But through four games, the dude's been targeted 52 times. 13 targets on average a game in his first four. He's got 35 catches. I mean, he's on pace for 150 receptions. That's crazy. And he's really an excellent route runner. There are a couple of moves. Did you see the move he made early in the game when they hit the one deep one to him, Denton? I mean, I forget who was covering him. I don't think it was Diggs. It was somebody else. The guy literally fell down. He is an unbelievable route runner. Not to mention he's such a great vertical threat, and he's excellent as a yards after catch guy. The Giants, that performance by him last night, again, I mean, he's been that for the first four games of the season. I also thought that for the most part, Daniel Jones looked competent. And I think he's looked competent since week one. I'm not saying he's a good quarterback, but he is a starting quarterback in the NFL when you have an offensive line and you've got a guy like Malik Nabers on your team. It's like a totally different guy the last 3 weeks. At one point, he was like 20. I think at one point he was 22 of 25. He ended up 29 of 40 for 281. Dak looked fine. CeeDee Lamb went to him early and often. But man, I'm not blown away by the Cowboys. They have a big game next Sunday night against the Steelers on the road. The Steelers have a very interesting game this week. Their game might be involved in a smell test pick, but the Cowboys go Steelers, Lions, 49ers, Falcons, Eagles, Texans, and then us, you know, over the next seven games. I don't know. It's early. Things change. They got back late with CeeDee Lamb, obviously, in camp. I'm not a big fan of the Cowboys right now. You have any thoughts on last night's game?
I do think I slightly, while I understand where you're coming from with the field goal punt situation, I think I slightly disagree because I think once Neighbors is out, you're kind of like daring the Giants to do something offensively. Now, obviously, the perfect scenario is you make that kick and you go up eight, and you're basically saying there's no chance they can march down the field in any capacity, score a touchdown, and then go for two with that guy at quarterback. Because I do feel like Daniel Jones is better than people perceived him to be at the start of the season, but I definitely still think there are people more than likely on that Dallas sideline that still perceive him to not be very good.
Am I missing something here? Are you agreeing with me? You would have punted it too?
No, I would. I agree with kicking the field goal. You just want your guy to make it.
I thought you said they're not going to go a long distance with Daniel Jones and Malik Neighbors off the field. That's my thought. I would have, like, to me, there's like 0% chance if you punt it that Daniel Jones with no Malik Neighbors on the field with no timeouts in 25 seconds, because a punt is a longer play, potentially, that they can score.
Right, but you know, I feel the same way once you go up eight, because then you know they have to go get the two-point conversion as well.
I get that. But the best chance that the Giants have, and maybe the only chance of life for them, is the
missing
improbable. I get it. Like, it's a long shot that he's going to miss the field goal. He's never missed a field goal from that length. But, like, that's their only chance. I would have taken the zero chance over the 1% chance, because he wasn't going to miss that field goal. I get it. 23-15, 8-point lead. You're going to kick. They're going to be, you know, come out to the, you know, you probably, I don't know what they would have done with the kickoff. Would they have kicked it in the landing zone? Would they have given them the ball at the 30? But with a punt, to me, that's like a guarantee that the game is over versus having the risk of, you know, it's possible he could miss the field goal. Not probable, though. I would have said there's no way that they're going, you know, 90 yards in 25 seconds if we can punt it down to the 10-yard line or 12-yard line or whatever.
I was also very upset that, you know, I did make a wager on this game. I didn't play the spread, but I put a prop bet in on Devin Singletary to have a lot of rushing yards because Dallas's running defense sucks.
Yeah.
And then they played the best game of the year on the – I mean, they held New York to 1.1 yard per carry. Singletary himself was 1.7.
In that box last
I mean, they
night.
Stacked
they like,
it.
They were like, we will take Daniel Jones and even Malik Neighbors. And by the way, Wandale Robinson had 11 catches in the game and dropped three passes. I mean, right in his hands, including a huge one on their next to last drive. It was that third down before they went for the fourth down, I think, because the fourth down play was the play I think Neighbors got hurt on. But the third down, Robinson won over the middle. Daniel Jones made a perfect throw. And it was right in his hands, and he's off to the races. Like, they're going to be inside the Dallas 20-yard line, and he dropped it. I'm looking at his numbers, 11 catches, 71 yards, 14 targets. I would bet you all three of the non-catches on the 14 targets were drop passes.
It's crazy, too, because he threw 40 times, and 29 of them were to Neighbors and Robinson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty insane statistic.
Yeah, he had a big one to Slayton. Slayton was 3 for 56 with a 28-yarder. Slayton actually stumbled a little bit, or he would have, I think, had a bigger gain on that. God, it's so early in the season, but you're right. Dallas decided they were not going to get gashed for a third straight week on the ground by a team in the Giants who actually had run the ball pretty well the last couple of weeks, especially against us. And they, you know, and because of it, the Giants moved the football through the air. You know, they ended up with 281 yards through the air, but just 26 yards rushing on 24 carries. Wow. I didn't know it was that. 1.1 yards per carry. Do you know who I think looks really good and in a much different physical condition. I think we talked about this after week one, but he is definitely the backup. But I think Zeke looks good when he runs the football right now for the Cowboys. Dowdle is their number one back. Zeke is the backup. But he looks – somebody told me this. Was it my guy Kenny or was it Clay that he had lost 15 pounds in the offseason? It looks like he lost more than that.
Everybody lost 15 pounds this offseason. Lamar lost 15 pounds. Zeke lost – like everyone that has lost any sort of weight this offseason lost 15 pounds, except for Emmanuel Forbes, who gained 15 pounds.
Yeah, I don't think
15
did,
is the magic number.
Yeah, but doesn't he look physically totally different to you?
I think he does. I'm not like full on Zabe with this sort of stuff, but I do think the 15 just kind of is more of a slimming number than the 21 was, and I don't think he's wearing as much accessories, shall we say.
You think the jersey number makes him look slimmer?
I think he has lost weight, but I think the jersey helps with that.
I agree with that. I think single digit jersey numbers, players always look slimmer.